This is Metal Mike, and in this episode, we talk with Steve and Scotty, the masterminds behind the book Pictures Alive, Rock Shows of the 80s and Beyond. We talk about how this killer book came about, and we discuss the visual evolution of bands featured like Motley Crue and Kiss. Now, do you hear the music that's playing in the background? That's my band, Rock Soldiers, with a new song, Makes You Talk. It rocks. Make sure you click the link in the description below to listen. Well, here's my chat with the boys about their cool new book. Check it out.
All right, Steve and Scotty, welcome to the 80s Glam Metalcast. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing good.
Awesome, man. So happy to have you. You guys got a super cool book out right now, Pictures Alive, Rock Shows from the 80s and Beyond. Tell everybody about it, man. It's cool. Tell them about it.
All right, Scott. Well, I'll just say, you know, Steve and I have been friends a long time since high school. And since I've known Steve, he's always had these amazing photos on his bedroom walls all framed. And, you know, flash forward to 2020, I was working on a project that wasn't going anywhere. And Steve and I would talk about things, and he just eventually said, hey, would you be interested in doing a book for me? You know, I've always wanted to do something with my photos. I said, let's do it, man. And Steve lives in the Bay Area, and I live north of Boston. So we just would get on the phone every Sunday, chat it up, talk about, you know, what Steve wanted to do. But he kind of gave me free rein to just take the photos and build the book the way, you know, I think it should look, or what I think would be cool. And, you know, you're holding the result of all that. You know, it was kind of like a two-year project. We just took our time. You know, Steve fronted the money to pay for the printing, so we didn't have any pre-sales or anything like that. And, you know, we always say we're just a couple of, you know, like most of us, you know, we're just a couple of guys that are just big music fans. And this book is really something special. It really is like a time machine. It takes you back to those concerts that we all went to, you know, maybe in our teens. And, you know, and the book has, you know, the book has, for each concert, it has a ticket, the original ticket stub, the set list, a story about what happened at the show, some amazing photos for it. And it just kind of transports you back to that time. And so far, everyone's really, really been, has really enjoyed the book, and we've gotten really great feedback. And it's really cool just to talk to people like yourself and kind of spread the word about the book.
You know, and Scott hit a keynote there. Everyone that's left a review, and we got a lot of great reviews, they say the same thing, like Scott just said, it takes you back to that time. Even my friend Dave Medicati from Y&T, I sent him a book because there's pictures of Y&T in there from 1981. And he gave us a great review. He said the same thing. He goes, you know, it just takes you back that time when these bands were at the top of their game, when everything was really special, you know. And that's one of the main things we hear is that takes you back to that time. Because a lot of people went to these concerts in your hometown, you know, mm-hmm. when these bands were on tour in the early 80s and mid 80s. And that's when I would take these photos. And for me, it was just a hobby. And I had no interest in becoming a professional photographer or selling these photos or anything. They would sit on my, wherever I live. I had, you know, all my walls, you know, just covered with them. And I still do. I'm looking at them right now in my office. And then it just, the idea of doing a book just, you know, seemed like a cool idea. I just didn't know how to do it. So I called Scott because he had a little experience doing it. We had a lot of fun doing it. We took our time, like Scott said, no rush, no deadline. And we just kind of went for it. And the more we did, the more we believed in it. And when we finally got it back, there's this 300-page book with over 400 photos never seen before. And this book weighs almost 3 pounds. So we just really went for it. And we're really happy with the results. Really, really happy with them.
You know, what I love about it is it feels like it's like a big, giant tour book, right? But instead of just having one band, it's like a bunch of bands in the tour book. And was that kind of what you were going for, like a big, giant tour book?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's a good question. I don't know if that was something we were going for. We just wanted, we definitely wanted to include every band I had photos of. And I think there's 26 bands. I can't remember how many bands are in there. Is it 26?
Yep.
You remember? Okay, 26
yep.
bands. So, you know, it's really common to go buy a book on, you know, Van Halen or AC/DC or Randy Rhoads, where it's all one thing. And those are great books. ours is all about 26 different bands. And, you know, I might have two different tours from Van Halen or AC/DC, or I have plenty of Dio shots, you know. And again, these were my favorite bands, so that's why I took pictures of them. It just seemed like a great collection to put them all in one big book. And there's some, like Scott said, there's some pretty good and funny stories about some of the experiences I had, you know, at some of these shows or after the shows, you know, following the limousine from the concert venue to the hotel and maybe meeting the band and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we didn't have a real exact idea as far as the tour book. It's just going to be a book full of some photos you've never seen before.
It's a visual evolution of these bands, you know, as you go through, Kiss is a big one, you know what I mean? And I think you guys mentioned in the book, when you look at Kiss around Creatures, I mean, Kiss is kind of back in a lot of ways. They're looking pretty metallic and they still got the makeup. And then it's like you go to see them again the following year for Lick It Up, and it's a whole totally different thing, man. They look kind of like fish out of water, you know? You do that with a lot of the bands that are in there. It's like, it's a really cool evolution of the look.
That's a great example, because the Creature show, we didn't know at that time this was going to be the last time they played with makeup. We didn't know that back then. I know I didn't know that. And I was very fortunate to get some really good shots of that tour with Vinnie Vincent, you know, and Eric Carr, of course. But the following year, I went to check, because Kiss was my favorite band back then. So I wanted to go again, but I got photos of them. But you're right, it was not the same. Now they were like every other band.
Yeah.
And I had a hard time kind of grabbing a hold of it. But I took photos, and then I went again in 83rd year after. Kind of the same thing. I don't know what I was looking for, because the music was still good, but they were always so photogenic before,
right?
The costumes and the makeup and everything. Not anymore. They just weren't anymore. But still cool to take pictures of them and put them in the book, of course, you know.
Scott, you got anything you want to add to that?
No, I love what you said, you know, like a giant tour book. And I never really thought of it that way. I know tour books are heavily photos and such, and we do have, you know, certainly much more photographs than we have copy and stuff. But, you know, I will say there's plenty of stories to keep you entertained, or maybe just enough to keep you entertained or give you a little flavor of what happened or Steve's little escapades and whatnot. I think that's what's really cool. You know, some people don't want a big book with tons of copy. They want to see the photos, but they also want to feel like they're at the show. And I think, you know, we have enough storytelling in the book to kind of transport you there. But I do like what you said. It does feel like a giant tour book in some way because it's so picture heavy. But I think people really get a lot more out of it than just, you know, looking at pictures.
For sure. Another band that, if we can go back to the evolving looks, is Motley Crue. And you make a really good point in the book where Kiss is kind of falling off and they're becoming like every other band. Motley Crue is kind of filling the void for Kiss, and a very visual band. And you're kind of watching them get bigger, you know, each tour. So you've got a lot of great picks from the Shout at the Devil tour. And then you're showing them even getting bigger for Theater of Pain. So once again, it's kind of like you see Kiss kind of maybe going downhill slightly visually, but you see Motley Crue just evolving and getting bigger with their stage and their look.
And that's a good point, because, you know, I don't know if on that Creatures tour, you know, when they played here in the San Francisco Bay Area, Motley Crue opened up for them, okay? And I'll admit, I wasn't that familiar with Motley Crue at the time. I didn't know a lot of their music, but when I saw them, I go, wow, they look kind of like Kiss with the heels and, yeah. You know, and then sure enough, the next year, boy, that Shout at the Devil album and tour was huge, and a phenomenal album for one, just a great album. And that tour was really good. I went to that one, and again, was fortunate to get some photos. So you're right, they were kind of taking over the, you know, in their own way, taking over the reins of what, you know, Kiss was kind of done with, you know, I think. And I think Crue did it really, really well.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, you know, you're talking about this band, Motley Crue, that, you know, that was kind of bringing back kind of glam, and they were dirty and dangerous and like hungry. And, you know, I remember bringing Shout at the Devil to high school, and you were showing off the gatefold, much like Kiss Alive 2 back in 78. And I just remember, you know, it was like, wow, here's these four guys that were essentially the new Kiss. And Steve talks that we kind of talk about that in the book a little bit. You know, here was this band that was like the new Kiss. They were doing all the things that Kiss had kind of maybe lost touch with. And it was cool to see them, like you said, going from the Shout at the Devil tour, which was like their first kind of big stage show, to then Theater of Pain, which was, you know, an even bigger show. And we all know they just got bigger and bigger and bigger. But, you know, and a lot of people talk about, you know, a lot of people are critical of Vince Neil and his weight and his voice and all this stuff these days. So we like to say, you know, go back and see what the crew looked like when they were young and lean and hungry and,
big difference.
That's funny. You know, and then, you know, when we talk about the visuals, because obviously this is a very visual book. Like you said, there's a lot of cool concert pictures. And then there's some artists that don't really ever change the way they look. Like when you go through and look at the different tours of AC/DC or Ronnie Dio, Scorpions too. Like you can kind of go year to year and they're just kind of like constants. They really don't change visually. It's funny.
That's true. That's a good point too. You know, it's like, you know, do they take care of themselves? Who knows? But, you know, they have a certain look they want to keep, and they did a good job of it, you know. And you're right. I mean, if I took shows from 1 year, maybe a couple, and then again a couple years later, not a big difference. And, you know, maybe in their clothes, but look-wise, no, it's pretty much the same, you know. But that's okay.
Yeah, I say you could flip-flop the AC/DC pictures, and you would know what year it was from.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The same kind of thing. That's not knocking AC/DC, you know. They're freaking incredible, but it's like that's just not their thing, you know. So that is interesting to see the dynamic in the costumes and stuff. Just cool.
You know, there's a lot of cool stories in there, like you kind of already alluded to, you know, meeting the bands and you know, sneaking in the camera and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, this was the days before expensive meet and greets. So this was kind of like, you know, it was the Wild West back then of getting in these shows and moving your seat and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Exactly what it was. I mean, because all these concerts, really, except for maybe one or two, was general admission, which means, you know, once you're in the venue, you know, you could sit or stand wherever you want. And my friends and I would always go down as close as we can to the stage, but not to the very front, because security guards would see me right there because they hang out in that little pit area, you know? So we'd be about 10, 15 yards back, maybe 10, 15 feet back to the stage. But boy, you're really getting pushed around a lot, you know, in that crowd. You really are. So it was, you know, there were times it would be very difficult to, you know, I've joked before, I got tons of blurry photos, out of focus photos. I got tons of those. But so it was always a challenge to get happy, you know, because back then my camera was fully manual focus, manual everything. So it wasn't automatic, and it was a camera, not a phone. It was an actual camera. And I really had a lot of fun doing it. And there was no flash. They're all natural light from the stage. So I kind of had to rely on any kind of bright light from the stage. That's when I would take photos, because, you know, if it was dark on stage, you know, I'm not going to get any good shots. And again, I got tons of those. But it was always a challenge, but a fun challenge. I always really enjoyed it.
And you know what's cool, Steve? You just kind of made me think of something. Steve writes in the book, you know, that oftentimes he would be the only guy with a camera, and people would be looking at him, kind of giving him like a thumbs up, like, "Yeah, dude, you know, take those photos, man." You know, like, and Steve said, you know, that he'd be the only guy there with the camera. And my point is that you kind of, you know, like, you know, back then you would go to the concert, maybe you snuck in your kind of cheesy pocket 110 camera and get some crappy blurry photos like we all tried. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you kind of start to learn like what it was like to kind of be like a budding photographer. Like, you know, Steve wasn't looking to becoming famous photographer. He just wanted to get pictures of his band. But you start to understand what he had to go through to get this camera in, and he was successful probably about 95% of the time. But it also, you know, it's one of those things that he kind of touches upon, this kind of practice of going to a concert and sneaking the camera in, that many of us never even tried, you know, on that level. And so it's kind of cool to see, you know, you're almost rooting for Steve to get in with the camera, and when he makes a successful attempt, you know, you kind of celebrate with him, you know. It's like, and that was that vibe that Steve would get from the crowd at oftentimes, which I thought was really cool.
I want to know if anybody's put this in the reviews. I'm going to assume that they have, but I think when you look at these pictures, I mean, they're so close up. They're so vibrant. I mean, I feel like you can kind of hear the music when you're looking at them, you know, and I think especially with Van Halen and with Randy Rhoads. I think I was just looking at the Randy Rhoads picture, and I'm pretty sure I can hear, like, you know, some of his guitar solos from, like, Crazy Train and stuff. So it's just like the pictures do speak.
Well, you have a good point. People often ask me, people say, do you remember, like, what song was being played when you took this photo? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. But there are some that I actually do. And you just hit it. The one with Randy Rhoads, which is, you know, the first shot on that chapter, was in the first song. And that was Over the Mountain. Mm-hmm. They would open with Over the Mountain on that Diary of a Madman tour. And this is late 81. I think it was December 30th, 81. It was the first show at the Cow Palace here in San Francisco. And I just remember that was the song he was playing in that shot. The rest of them, I couldn't tell you, but that made me think when you just said Randy Rhoads. So there you go.
You know, I love your point there. I mean, you know, maybe that's what people seem to enjoy about this book so much. You know, maybe when they see these photos, they do hear a song in their head, and that certainly takes them back. Or maybe it kind of reintroduces a memory that they might have had in seeing some of these pictures. You're like, oh my God, I remember David Lee Roth wearing those weird glasses or something like that. You know, I think about shows that I've been to, and I can't, you know, I was at that Creature show with Motley Crue. I wasn't with Steve, but I was there. And other than Mick Mars getting hit with like a milkshake or something somebody threw at him, that was the only thing I really remember about Motley Crue, because I think I was so excited for Kiss. And I unfortunately missed them on the Dynasty tour. So, you know, it's funny. You see this book and it kind of brings you back and you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot he was wearing this denim jacket, or he was wearing, you know, these glasses, something like that. So, yeah, and that certainly sparks a song in your head. I think that's pretty cool to think about.
You know, what's cool too, and I mean, there's so many bands in here. I mean, we can go through them again, you know, Def Leppard, Dio, Ozzy, Judas Priest, Kiss, Motley Crue. And there's always somebody that's going to be real freakish about maybe a lot of these bands or maybe one of these bands. You know, I'm a huge Kiss freak, you know, and I love the Creatures era. And I got to say, it was so cool to see these pictures because, you know, when you're online and you're checking out different things, you kind of see the same pictures all over and over. And those Creatures pictures are unique. Like I said, I've never seen those before. It's just cool. And I think as a real Kiss nut, it was nice to see, like, Paul Stanley, you know, he started off, I think, the show with, like, the man bra thing, right? The black thing with the stripes.
Yeah, right.
But then later on in the show, he wore a Kiss shirt. You know what I mean? So it was kind of cool to see, like, he was changing it up during that show and everything. So as a Kiss freak, man, I really, that was the highlight for me, was the Creature stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a good point. Go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to say, and I think that we counted it, it was like 14 pages of Creatures photos alone, which, you know, I joke with Steve, you know, back in whatever it was, you know, 78, 79, when you'd buy 16 magazine just for like one little photo of Kiss because you were so hungry for anything you could get your hands on, you know. And so I was, you know, to see a book with 14 pages from Creatures tour alone, I think is, for a Kiss fan, would make it worth their while. But we have over 60 pages of Kiss concerts in there, you know, from 83 all the way up to 2000 on the I guess the first farewell tour.
But
you know, and you know, and you really see Steve's pictures get kind of better and better as band's lighting systems got brighter, which Steve always accounts for, you know. So it's kind of cool, you know, the book slowly gets better and better, which I think is kind of cool too. And it's cool to hear that you're a big Kiss fan, because Steve and I definitely are both big Kiss fans.
You know, another cool thing is that you basically talked about, you've got Kiss when they got back together, right? So you've got a lot. I think there's three shows, right, from the farewell tour. And those pictures are awesome. And I think the funny thing is when Kiss sometimes talk about the farewell tour, at least musically, if you hear Paul and Gene, they'll say, it was terrible. We had to end it. You know, Ace and Peter, they hardly could play. You know, they talk a lot of bullshit about, you know, Ace and Peter from this tour. But man, visually, it looks great, doesn't it? I mean, when you look back at those from 2000, they all look amazing, and the whole thing looks really cool.
No, again, they did look great, and we thought they sounded, you know, when we were all there at the concert, it was great.
Yeah.
It was a great concert. You know what I mean? We didn't see the turmoil they were going through, and we didn't care. We paid our money, wanted to see the show, and they delivered. They delivered the show, and they, you know, credit to Gene and Paul, they stuck out as long as they could, but they did do it really well. And you're right. I by this point, it had so much lighting, I did not have an issue with, you know, getting enough light for my photos. It was great. And I think for that, by this point, you know, this was the last concert I ever took photos of. And I probably took, you know, three or four rolls at this point, just because I knew this was probably going to be it. Well, they called it the farewell, so I thought that was going to be it. And it kind of was with the original four. But I was very fortunate to get, you know, to get the original guys and Kiss as much as I did. I was really happy with that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, Mike, you said it really well, was, you know, we do hear a lot of the bullshit from the band and this and that. And I remember when Lynn Goldsmith's book came out, a lot of people criticized that it was heavy on Paul and Gene, and Eric seemed to get kind of a little bit of kind of bad talk about him and some things like that. And, you know, as the designer of the book here, you know, I want to see that camaraderie of the band. You know, if you look at, like, you know, Kobo video from the first show, man, they are just crazy in sync and just going, and they just seem so flipping, you know, into each other and just playing off each other and just going at it as this band. It's like, I try to do that, like, when I do the design work. I try to show those pictures where there's smiles mm-hmm. and not someone disgruntled. Well, I like to show as many Peter and Ace photos as I do of Paul and Gene, because, you know, it was four guys in this band that made the magic. And you know, I try to do that with the design. And so it's nice to hear you say that, because, you know, yeah, I like that the band was there and enjoying that celebration and stuff. So
another nice thing, when you go back and you especially look at this era, like I said, from like 81 to 86, it's nice to kind of see these old school stages, because today, I hate to say it, but when you see Kiss and you see Motley Crue and Def Leppard, all their stages kind of look the same, because it's all based on screens, right? So when you see these old school stages like Ozzy with the, you know, the temple walls and stuff, and Maiden, I mean, that's a whole other level. I mean, their whole stages were transformed based on whatever album they were touring. Kiss too, with the tank and all the shit they had. I mean, it is kind of cool to see those old school stages, and I think they actually come across better than the screens, personally.
Yeah, you know, and when my friends and I would go to these shows, we would look forward to seeing a big production.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was Judas Priest, Dio always had a big production. You know, again, you mentioned Maiden, and it was almost like, it seemed like it was like, was it a competition between these guys who can,
right,
you know, who can have the biggest stage set and spend the most money? But they pulled it off so cool, and it really was an experience. And but you're right, you don't see that anymore, because they just, you know, they don't have to do it, of course. But back then, yeah, no screens, no video screens, just all cool stage, you know, special effects was always cool. It was just a great time to be going to concerts. And you maybe paid a mere $10, $11, $12 for, you know, back then, and compared to what you pay now. So, again, we just try to, you know, capture all that, put it in one book, and just go, here you go, this is it, man. There's probably, you probably went to some of these shows, and we get so much feedback and so much, you know, great response that everyone says, you know, I was at that show, it was in my city, but I went to that same show and it was great. So that's really where we've been getting our reward, is just, you know, hearing people's reviews. So again, we're fans, like Scott said, we're fans first, and we have this kind of cool thing. It's a book of all my photos, and it's never been out before. I just held on to them. I didn't have any desire to do anything with them other than, because, again, it was just a hobby for me. And I just thought, well, maybe, you know, if Scott's into doing this with me, this could be cool. And it was a really fun project, because I didn't really know exactly how long it was going to take, how much it was going to cost, and where it was going to go. And when we got it done, 2 years later, I thought, well, this is pretty cool. This is a book. This is a real freaking book.
Yeah.
And there you go, you know.
And, you know, yesterday we got a nice review from a gentleman. He sent us an email, and he was saying that what he loved about the book was all the things we're talking about, the ticket stub, and he said he finally saw the set list after looking through the book three times, and that added an extra dimension to him. But he said he just appreciated it because more than a lot of other books, because it really felt like he was relating to what Steve was kind of putting out. Like, we were just teenagers trying to take some pictures illegally, you know, of our favorite band. And it's like he really got that point of view. And that, for him, really flipped him back to that concert and made him kind of look at it a little differently. Like, and that's what he loves. Like, these are fan photos. These are really good fan photos, not from some really polished, ritzy photographer guy who's in the pit who can almost not take a bad photo. You know, Steve was hustling to take these. And Steve, you should touch upon the thing that, you know, you were atop Dale's shoulders for most of these, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point. I'm sorry. So what I, you know, my buddy Dale Miller, who was one of my best friends now in high school, he was with me at almost all these concerts. Unfortunately, I've always been a light guy, and, you know, I'm kind of a light guy. And he would hoist me up on his shoulders for maybe just a couple minutes, because I don't want to be up there too long, because now I'm kind of pissing off the people behind me because I'm blocking their view.
Right.
So I would scrunch down, and just if the lights were bright enough, I would take pictures. And if it wasn't, I would tap him on the head, and that means put me down. There's no sense being up there if I'm not taking photos, okay? And then we would do that three or four times a show. So I'm not taking pictures the whole time. I'm maybe taking pictures for 5-10 minutes of the whole show.
Right.
So I wanted to enjoy the show. If I'm taking pictures the whole time, I'm not paying attention to the concert. So I really wanted to make sure I got, you know, a little bit of both. But so the pictures were, okay, you know, put me up, and he'd throw me up, and if the lights were bright, and, you know, I got a shot, I would take a couple shots, and then put me back down. And like I said, we did that a few times throughout the show. And one other thing I want to point out that Scott was saying was, and I've said this quite a few times already, it's like, when we started this project, I said to Scott, you think anyone's going to really give a shit about these photos? I was so used to just seeing them, right? He goes, oh, no, you got something here. No, there's something here. I go, okay, let's see what happens. Because I'm so used to them, you know? And I don't know what people are going to think. If, okay, yeah, you got some old rock photos, cool. But it's been pretty overwhelming. Like Scott, one of the reviews he just, you know, read. And we got several of them. It's been great. So I really enjoyed just sharing them, to tell you the truth. That's where it comes down to, you know, with Scott's help. So that's where we're at.
That's awesome. Now, here's my big question, man. Where are the photos from 86 to 89? where's the rest of the 80s?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. So, yeah, you know, what, 90% of this book is from 81 to 86. Again, these were my favorite bands. And after the last one I took was David Lee Roth on his first solo tour, mm-hmm. the Eat 'Em and Smile tour. Even though I had plenty of David Lee Roth with Van Halen from 82 and 84 with Van Halen, I wanted him with the new, you know, Steve I and Billy Sheehan. You know, I wanted that band. Well, after I did that show, I got my camera in. I was, you know, I got the pictures. I had everyone I wanted. I had everyone I wanted probably more than once, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I ran out of room on my four walls in my bedroom at the time, so I didn't have any room to, you know, to put any more photos up. But I really had who I wanted. And I had done this probably at this point, I don't know, 50, 60 times maybe. And I think I was kind of, in my mind, I was kind of done doing it, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a 10-year break from 86 to 96. And the reason why 96 I took photos, because Kiss got back together with the original four guys. I said, oh, I've got to try to get pictures of this. I don't have the original four guys at this point. You know, I have everyone else, Kiss, you know, all the other, you know, lineups, but I don't have the original four. So I got pictures of that show in 96 when they did the reunion. And then 4 years later, now it's supposedly the farewell, and they played, I saw three shows from that 2000. I got pictures of each one, and I was done. I was it. That's a big gap between 86 and 96. So,
did anybody give you any static, like any of the artists or anything, for putting this out? Did you have to get any kind of permission, or what's the story?
Well, okay, I mean, is this any different than, you know, you're standing in line at the grocery store and there's a People magazine right there or any other magazine and there's pictures of celebrities? I'm pretty sure they're not getting, you know, they're getting permission for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? My point is, they're my photos and they're my negatives, the whole bit. So, no, I didn't go that route. I was told by quite a few people that you don't have to get permission because they're in many books and magazines.
Sure.
Not just mine.
Yep.
They're in many outlets. Everyone, you know, any celebrity or musician or rock star is. So how do you, you know, how do you police that? You know what I mean? So we just went for it.
Yeah, and we considered if it was a book all about Kiss or Motley Crue,
yeah, one band, like that, that'd be different.
We sure. probably would. It would have been different, but you know, we talked to a lot of people, you know, people that have written books and stuff like that, and they said, you know, if they're your photos, that kind of solidifies it right there. Then you are entitled. You know, those are your photos, and no one can say no, no. Like Kiss makes a big deal about having their makeup trademarked and stuff like that, but that doesn't matter. If you took a picture of them, you own that photo, and Kiss may be big boys and they want to sue you, and they could probably maybe beat you in a legal battle or something like that because of their finances. But it's my understanding that if you took the photo, that's yours to do with what you want with it. Now, slapping it all over merchandising like something Kiss would do, you know, I'm sure eventually it'd kind of bite you in the ass. But as far as this, no, we haven't had any pickups from anybody. In fact, you know, we've had a couple of celebrities like Dave Menichetti like to give us his 2 cents. You know, we had Billy Sheehan for a while who was kind of emailing Steve back and forth about wanting a copy of the book, and he was really excited about it because, you know, that was maybe one of the biggest moments in his career being with Dave on that tour. And, you know, I'm sure he'd love to see some photos of that day, probably great memories, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, Billy wasn't busting our balls to say, you know, hey, man, did you run this by Dave and whatnot? It's like they've got bigger fish to fry. And like Steve said, it's 26 different bands. It's so divided. It's not a concern.
And the big thing is, too, guys, we're not making money. We're not making big money on
right.
this. Okay, we got to sell a lot more books.
Yeah.
Okay, and when Scott and I decided to do this, we knew we were taking a chance of, and it was a labor of love, it really was. And you know, when we printed up all the books and paid for them all, there was a chance that, you know, we might sell 10 books. You know, who knows? Well, we went for it, but again, it's not like there's thousands and thousands of dollars. It is not. I mean, mm-hmm. we got ways to go just to break even, and we hope we do and continue, but. No, it's again. This is so minute compared with those, you know, those big boys are used to. So, if anyone did, it'd be really kind of chicken shit to tell you the truth. Because come on, we're fans. You know what I mean? We're actually helping you guys out. We're promoting your band. You know, maybe in a different way,
true.
But we're keeping your band alive. Kind of. That's how I look at it. So
keeping them quote alive, like our book title.
Alive. Right.
What I was going to say is. You know, we haven't actually told anybody this, and I don't think it's a big secret, but to Steve's point, we printed 1,000 copies of this book. We're not, you know, going to do a second run, anything like that. You know, sales have been, like, you know, steady. You know, we're excited for the Christmas because we really do think it's a great holiday book or something. You know, maybe your wife or your, especially your husband or boyfriend, you know, if he's in his 50s in that ballpark age, you know, this is his or her, you know, her time. And so, like I said, it's only 1,000 copies we printed. So, you know, you'll get something that a lot of people, you know, won't get. And, you know, we've had orders from all around the world, surprisingly. And we always get a little jolly when we're like, dude, we've never gotten an order from Finland before. It's like, hell yeah.
Yeah,
right. Like
Australia.
It's really cool. Really, really cool to see that.
Hey, Scott, tell the website.
Yeah, I don't think we've mentioned it yet, but you can get this book. It's $29.95, and it's available at picturesalive.net.
Perfect.
That's it. Thank you.
Before we wrap up, guys, tell me the best concert you ever went to.
Oh, man. Jeez. Well, yeah, it's so hard because we have a book. For me, I might have to go back to my first concert, and it was Kiss, 1977, the Love Gun Tour, and it happened to be the day Elvis Presley died here in at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. So I'm gonna go Kiss 77 just because it was my first time ever going to a concert when I was like 13 years old. So
nice.
You know, there's a couple of shows in my probably my top five that I don't want to mention because you guys are gonna think I'm total pansy. So I'll skip over some of those. Duran Duran. But anyways, I will say, you know, I was fortunate enough to go see the Kiss Halloween show down at Dodger Stadium, and I remember I had a couple of drinks. I was feeling all right, but I just kind of lost myself at that show because it was, you know, at a coliseum, you know, which Kiss wasn't accustomed to playing, you know, something of that size. And it was a beautiful night, and I remember, you know, they come out and I always loved Let Me Go Rock and Roll. When they played that, I remember throwing my drink like just out into the crowd and fucking screaming, you know, about it's fucking Peter Criss right there, and just losing it. But I thought they were on top of the world, and to be back, I couldn't imagine that they would have came back and been
exactly
so cool a second time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little younger, so the first time I ever saw Kiss was in 90 for the Hot in the Shade tour, but that was my favorite concert because they had the Sphinx, and it was blowing lasers and smoke and, you know, all kinds of shit. So I thought it was like Kiss was back with like a cool stage show, and had a nice set list too for that tour. So that's probably my favorite show I ever went to.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you see Hot in the Shade, Steve?
You know what? I want to say I was supposed to, and something happened, and I went to the Revenge. I went to the next year. No, I didn't go to Hot and Shade. I missed that one.
I got you. You know, I just saw Revenge, and we saw Asylum and all of them. But for some reason, I know this is weird as maybe a graphics person, there was always something about the face on the Sphinx that it looked like it was smiling, and it irritated me. And so I didn't go for that simple, stupid reason. But I wish I had. I remember, you know, I think Paul was switching to Les Pauls at the time.
Yeah,
and
that's right. Yeah,
they
right.
weren't so glammy, and and God bless Eric Carr, man. You know, he was still kicking then, and stuff like that. So
awesome, guys! It was great talking with you about the book and about the classic concerts. I wish you a lot of luck with the book. We'll put a link in the description of the video so people can find you. But this was great, man. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having us on, man. We had a good time.
To thank all the fans, and wish everyone a happy holidays, and we'll see you soon.
Well, that was great, chatting with Steve and Scotty. Make sure you subscribe so you do not miss a thing. Rock on!